Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. And now to Pakistan, a country many Americans view one-dimensionally as Osama bin Laden's hideout, or maybe through archived videos of street riots, terrorist training camps, or through the eyes of a drone thousands of feet in the air. A new documentary provides a much closer vision. Made in Pakistan follows four young, urban, middle-class professionals in Lahore, Pakistan's second-largest city. The film is set during a tense month, from the declaration of martial law in November of 2007 to the assassination of Benazir Bhutto on December 27th of that year. Caravanserai is sponsoring our New Hampshire residency with the film's executive producer, Aisha Khan, this weekend. We caught up with her on her way to New Hampshire. Aisha Khan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a very specific time in history covered in this film, the state of emergency declared by General Pervez Musharraf in November of 2007. Had you and the director Nasir Khan planned on following these four anyway, and this came up?
Yes, exactly that. We had actually decided to make the film prior, like almost a month before, and we were in pre-production at that point. And the idea was to kind of, you know, take a look at Pakistan through four working professionals. What kind of life are they leading there? And suddenly 2 weeks into shooting is when the state of emergency was declared. Mm.
So a very painful time for the country. But as far as filmmakers are concerned, you kind of hit pay dirt there, didn't you?
Well, actually, we all had a massive discussion that should we go forward with the project or not? Because the whole idea was to show the, you know, stability in Pakistan. Like, we were going through a boom time, things were looking good. The economy was doing great, and we all had to kind of reconnoiter and decide, do we go forward with the project? And I'm glad we decided yes.
And this is, interestingly enough, the same time that Newsweek had on the cover, you know, Pakistan, the most dangerous country in the world.
Right.
How did you, as a Pakistani, how does that register with you when you read a headline like that?
Especially at that point, which was 2007, I think, we were absolutely taken aback because I had literally gone back to the country 3 years prior after being abroad for so long, set up the production house, put in a lot of money into infrastructure, into the equipment, shot a whole feature film. And the only reason I was back in the States was because we were having an energy crisis in Pakistan and I couldn't finish my editing there. So, you know, it was literally my being back in the U.S. about a month later that this Newsweek article came out. And I called up my producers and said, what's going on? What changed? Because nothing was going on in Pakistan at that time.
Right. And, you know, the trouble had yet to come. After that, Musharraf, president of the country, fired the chief justice.
Right.
And the lawyers especially came out to protest. And Waleed Khalid, who's one of the people that you follow,
right.
He is one of those very active in the protests. He also teaches law. We have a clip here of him talking with his students, and we get a little bit of the perspective of those coming up in Pakistan today.
If there's no rule of law, how do you see your future?
If you see the judiciary of a country is not secure from the executive, how can you hope for a better future of that country?
Why do we think that this is a war between the government and the lawyers? Why isn't it a war between the government and the citizens of Pakistan? Why aren't the doctors coming out? Why aren't the engineers saying that we need rule of law?
But do you think that sentiment that's expressed by these young law students stands? The idea that, especially among this educated class, you know, all of the hope for the future on some level is pinned upon them. Is there despair? What did you witness?
You know, we went through this very awful period a year and a half ago when we had the flooding happen in Pakistan. And it
right.
was literally a humanitarian crisis,
it was
the likes of which nobody has seen. And it was bigger than the Japanese earthquake and tsunami, and it never got covered here in the U.S. And at that point, this is where I have to say there is a remarkable Pakistani spirit. I don't know a single person on the ground who was not involved in flood relief. And since then, there's a big change is that we've got this very famous cricketer who's turned into a politician. His name is Imran Khan. And the last 6 months or so, we're seeing this meteoric rise in popularity, almost like when Obama was coming
right.
in the primaries and there was all this hope and change and, you know, we were all very optimistic about the future. And that's happening right now on the ground in Pakistan.
one of the characters that you follow, Mohsen, he is also a politician. And we get this kind of other end of the spectrum than we saw in the law class, certainly.
Right.
Let's hear just a moment of that, of him talking with some of the disgruntled members of this neighborhood. We won't be able to understand it, but you get the sense of it. That's a clip from the film called Made in Pakistan. We're speaking with the film's executive producer, Aisha Khan, who will be in New Hampshire this weekend and will be speaking with New Hampshireites about things that are going on in Pakistan after the showing of her film at Red River Theaters on Saturday night, and there's also a public tea on Saturday afternoon. We get that kind of sense of the serious, the lawyer. We get the politician. We also meet this woman named Rabia. She is an editor of this magazine called The Fourth Article, and trying to provide something new for young Pakistani audiences. I guess it's the 18 to 35 market that she's really going after. And the magazine asks whether or not they want to vote or not vote. Is this a big public debate, whether or not to participate in the process?
Yes, because the establishment and, you know, the parties which have been in power up and down in the last, you know, 60 years have let us down. And that's one of the reasons it's been so easy for the military coups to happen, because you kind of get fed up of the civilian government and then somebody steps in and says, because of the corruption, I'm taking over. Which is why I'm saying there's such a change right now with this Imran Khan, cricketer turned politician. He rose to fame when he won the cricket world championship for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pakistan went mad in the 80s when that happened. And then he turned into a philanthropist and started Pakistan's first free cancer hospital.
Now, which party is he with?
He started his own party. So you see, there's a lot of excitement on the part of the youth. And what is really remarkable for me to see is that it shows me how much of an emerging middle class there is in Pakistan.
It's interesting you say that. Rabia also teaches a class. And let's hear just from some of these students. They're talking about how many people have been killed in Pakistan and in Afghanistan in the war on terror.
Hey, on TV, there's like a sob story about this American who died in Iraq or Afghanistan, but there's nothing about the Iraquis or Afghanis
see,
that died that same day.
If we let them in our country, then they'll never feel the same way that we feel about our people, the way that they feel about their people, so he can never understand it. So I don't think that he deserves to come here.
Decisions are made in America and other places in the world, and we are asked to implement those decisions. Now, either you tell us that Pakistani lives do not matter, the blood of the people here is not as precious as the blood of people there, then it's a different story.
The idea this strikes me, Aisha, because it's the educated class articulating hatred for the U.S. and its disregard, as they're talking about, of human life in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Now, I think often in the United States, we get this idea of there's a starving, hopeless underclass who are being swayed. You know, that's what we're led to believe. We just get it wrong?
Pretty much.
Yeah. What do you think is behind that?
Well, because exactly what the girl says in the clip, she's like, you know, they are never going to care about our people being killed. The emphasis won't be there. I would also add that actually this whole thing about, oh, they hate us, they hate Americans, and they don't like our lifestyle and whatever, is actually plainly wrong. They don't like the American government's policies. Mm-hmm. I know Pakistanis, and I know how many of them would apply for a visa to the U.S. in a second.
Right.
Right? How many wear Levi's, like they wear fake Levi's, they drink Coke. You know, we're immersed in American culture. And they're not against, you know, freedom of speech or whatever. They're against very specific government foreign policies on behalf of the U.S. government. Mm-hmm.
In fact, we hear a little bit of that. Tara has a friend, I think his name is Summer Nick. I think he's a Brit, though.
Yes.
And talks about the real chasm between living in a place and hearing about it, you know?
Exactly.
And another, I think, big misunderstanding that we see through Tara is, you know, she's putting on this big fashion show, very high profile, very tense. And she talks with the director, I'm guessing it is, about what to expect at the party.
It's just like any other party anywhere else. And there's alcohol, there's dancing, there's DJs, there's and this one there's going to be live music performance. Look! And then we've got like monkeys that, you know, salute to us. Alcohol is not banned here, it's just not legally sold here. The whole of Pakistan probably smokes up anyway.
What's going on here? Is it a cultural difference? Is it a class difference between these new, you know, sort of urban Pakistanis and others?
I think what you're seeing is people being people. You know, alcohol is banned in Pakistan. It cannot be legally bought and sold. There are no bars, right?
Right.
But there is an enormous, like, bootlegging. I mean, it's like being under prohibition.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't mean that people aren't drinking. Of course people are drinking of a certain class. Marijuana literally grows on the sidewalks just because of the climate. I mean, it doesn't matter what class you belong to. Like, if you want to smoke marijuana, you'll smoke because that's not legally banned. There's no, you know, they just don't deal with it. The point I'm trying to make is that people like to party any which way you can.
Well, how about now? I mean, this film was made, as we mentioned, in a very particular time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ending with the tragic assassination that really shocked your subjects of Benazir Bhutto. How about now? You know, a few years later, after drone strikes have continued, after American military action in the Swat Valley has intensified,
right,
after Osama bin Laden. Do you think this is changing? I mean, you said earlier in this interview that, you know, you thought you were showing cosmopolitan, stable Pakistan.
Right.
What do you think now?
Well, when we were just finishing up the filming of Made in Pakistan, I think we were at the beginning of the spiral, right? The country, suddenly exactly all the lists that you've given us happened in the last 2 years. And that's why I have some hope and optimism, because I feel like the young kids are really on the side of this new politician. I may not agree with his policies and what have you, and I'm not advocating for him. But what I do see is that the young Pakistanis are wanting a change. And that, I think, is to be admired.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Virginia.
That's Ayesha Khan, actress, writer, and filmmaker. She's a director of the film Lifting the Veil, an executive producer of a film called Made in Pakistan. It's a documentary that's going to be showing this weekend in New Hampshire. The Arts Alliance of Northern New Hampshire and Caravanserai invite all of those interested in film, politics, women's issues to come and meet and talk with her. There are a couple of different opportunities to do that. We have links to the showing at the Red River Theater of Made in Pakistan, and also a tea that is open to the public. You'll find all that at wordofmouthradio.org.